Take your Bible, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 24 through 29 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Brother Joe, how are you, sir? I'm doing better than you. Never mess with the guy with the microphone. You know better than that. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verses 24 through 29 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. I'm excited to preach this sermon to you tonight. I want to help you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It sounds like this area this time of the year, doesn't it? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon it, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Sounds like Stone Bridge with all the wood backing up the creek. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, would you anoint me tonight? Would you anoint my mind, my lips? Would you allow me to say the things that I should say? Would you please help me to help your people tonight? May we have a better understanding of you, better understanding of Scripture, better understanding of life because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 are what we call Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It encompasses all three chapters. And here at the end of chapter 7 is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to understand something. And listen to me, I use terminology that sometimes is offensive, I don't care, but denominationalists have really screwed up the Bible. Well, a parable isn't real and it's not powerful. Can I tell you something? The Bible says that they were astonished at Jesus's doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 are about doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Doctrine is something very important.
Amen.
It wasn't just stories.
Amen.
It was doctrine. And we see him here concluding the sermon. This is kind of his end statements for the Sermon on the Mount, so to speak. And he says, if you'll listen to what I say, he said, it's like a wise man building his house upon a rock, and when the rain comes and the winds blow, that it stays strong. But if you don't listen, it's like a man that builds his house on the sand, or on the water retention pond, so that when the water comes and the rains come and the floods come, it goes splat. They must have hired a certain engineer that I know. Now, I want you to notice something. The Bible says that the people were astonished at his doctrine. This is what I want you to get. And it says that he spoke, for he taught them as one having authority. And not as the scribes. And not as the scribes. May I say something to you? Jesus was not a drill instructor. Jesus was not a fascist dictator type of personality. Jesus didn't lead as an intimidator. He was not in your face. You got to get up right now. That was not how Jesus led. All right, you can have a seat, Brother Stoltz. I had to wake him up. All right. Now, wait a minute. Jesus didn't go around killing people who disagreed with him. Not like the Muslims. Jesus pointed he was pointed and powerful in doctrine, but he himself was not a harsh personality. But may I also say, he didn't wiggle when he walked. Jesus wasn't this long-haired maggot that you see walking around with a rainbow flag hanging out behind him. He was tough enough to go in make a cat of nine tails, turn over the tables in the temple, and whip the money changers out. By the way, that was Palm Sunday, just before Easter. Just 3 or 4 days before Calvary. They were all ticked off at him. You see, but he himself was not a harsh person. Matter of fact, the Bible says he was a common man. He was an ordinary man. Matter of fact, they didn't even recognize him as the Messiah. But he had a powerful message.
Yes, sir.
He had a holy message. Now, authority does not mean bully. Authority is not, and please pardon my use of this term, but authority is not a cop with an attitude mentality. Not every police officer has one of those. I get that. But y'all know what I'm talking about? I call them rent-a-cops. You know, Barney Fife got one bullet in his pocket and he thinks he's E-Man. Authority is not this dark, powerfully oppressive force that gives you the right to plow down every violator and aggressively seek people who are violating. That is not what authority is. Authority is not one hitman looking for somebody, ready to take somebody out. Authority is not the ability to flex your muscles and show everybody how big of a position you have. That is not what authority is. Authority is not something you earn or have automatically. Let me use terms that you may be more familiar with. Authority is not ruling. Authority is not a judgment. It's not a ruler. It's not a person who has to enforce something in a harsh way. Authority is not a commodity that you get because of a title or a position. Authority is not a dominance over somebody. Let me put it right down on the shelf where we live. Fellas, if you got to look at your wife and say, "Bless God, I'm the husband. You got to do it because I'm the husband." That's not authority.
Amen.
We'll chase you out from underneath the bed when she yells back at you, too. Joe, do you have yours on stilts so that you can get under that thing? Did I do good on that one, Ashley? Now, wait a minute. Authority isn't you exercising your leadership. Now, Jesus taught as one having authority. It does not say they knew where his authority came from, but it said that he taught as one having authority. It doesn't say that he taught with authority, though he did. It says he taught as one having authority. It says, well, I want to give you, I have so many things I want to say right here. I'm going to give you 4 points tonight, no poem, but 4 points, and I'm going to show you biblically what authority is. Number one, authority defined is this: delegated influence. Influence placed on you by a higher power. That is what authority is. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Barnes, you teach 4th through 6th grade Sunday school class. Brother Barnes is a teacher in our Sunday school. He has been given authority based on the fact that, and please don't take this the wrong way, I chose him as Sunday school teacher. His teaching does not give him the authority. I gave him the authority.
That's right.
Everybody see what that's like? Brother Stoltz, come here for a second. He oversees our teen class and our music and our bus route. I have given him the authority to do those things. But that doesn't mean his leadership is the authority. It represents the church. It represents a higher power.
That's right.
Everybody understand that? His leadership lends to the authority. But his leadership is not the authority. You don't pastor the church, do you? Do you want to?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. There are days I might call you and let you have it. You can have a seat. You see, either one of these men and others in here, some of you ladies, you work in the nursery. You have the authority to do the things in the nursery, like clean diapers and take care of snotty noses and all the things and deal with mamas and all the things that I don't want to deal with. Amen. You have that authority to do that, but just because you work in there does not give you authority. It's not because you're working there that you have the authority. It was given by someone else for you to oversee. Everybody understand that? Now, notice that authority is not ruling. It is influence. It says delegated influence. By the way, that is a Greek definition. If you look up the word authority in the Greek, it means delegated authority. Delegated influence, I'm sorry. Delegated influence. It was given by someone else to you from a higher power so that you could maintain it as the higher power wanted. By the way, that's all I am. As pastor, I have no authority. I represent the authority because Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I get my leadership from the Word of God and God himself, by the way, not from the Pope, not from Rome, not from some denominational headquarters, not from anywhere else, from God himself. And I have that authority given to me as long as I follow that authority. If you work for the Ford Motor Company, you probably ought to drive a Ford car. It wouldn't be wise to show up with a Kia. All right? Two reasons. Number one, it probably wouldn't run to get there. And number two, if it did, they're probably going to destroy it in the parking lot. You see, you've been given the authority to make cars by Ford and make parts for Ford. Why would you not support that authority? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. To rule means you command with an official position. Authority doesn't give you that ability to rule. You represent the higher power. Authority is you representing that higher power and using your influence to get people to follow that higher power. My job, boy, this one's going to sound, I'm going to get in trouble for this one, Brother Harry. My job is not to build the church. My job is to build people to get them closer to God. In the process, God will build the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I've been given a higher power. And our higher power is, Brother Wiley was saying yesterday, and I saw a few of these, there were people out throughout Berkeley County. They had big signs. Jesus saves. Jesus is alive. And he said, what's that all about? I said, one church, one time a year, goes out and does that, and they call that soul winning.
No.
That's their definition of it. Say, did you honk and wave? No. I wanted to stop and say, here, folks, here's a handful of gospel tracts. Stop them and win them to Jesus. Don't waste your time here. Go knock on some doors. That's what I wanted to tell them. Now, I was glad they were out there. But I wonder how many people really got affected by that. Everybody doing okay? I don't find anywhere that Jesus says stand on the street corner with signs saying Jesus is alive, but I can find lots of scriptures that say go to door, house to house, knock on it, and tell them how to get saved.
Amen.
That's good. Yes, sir.
Authority is you're representing a higher power in your influence to get people to do right. Do you know that the President of the United States cannot write law? He uses his influence to get laws passed. He uses his influence to get treaties with other countries passed. He does not make law.
His power is limited. His authority is limited to the ability to negotiate so that we can. For instance, the thing with North Korea right now. Last week, all the liberals were excited that Kim Jong-un canceled and that the president canceled with the North Koreans. And less than 7 days later, guess what? It's rescheduled. Can I tell you why? Because for the last four presidents, Kim Jong-un and that regime has been able to tell the presidents of the United States what to do, and they backed off. They finally met one that wasn't going to listen to him.
He said, uh-oh, this one's a little different. We better jump back in a hurry. Have you ever looked at a police officer's car or their badge closely? It'll say, Sheriff's Authority. The authority of the state of West Virginia. Everybody understand that? In other words, that police officer's position, he's representing the state or the county or the local laws to enforce them, but he is not the authority. The Bible says that a woman's not to usurp authority over a man. Now listen to me very carefully. That doesn't mean that a woman is supposed to be a slave to her husband.
That's right.
Doesn't mean that a woman is worthless and the men do everything.
That's right.
Usually the women work harder than most men. Go ahead, ladies, say it. All right, got you there. But what that verse says is she should not use her influence to gain prosperity for herself only. Usurping authority over a man, in other words, you're not to use your influence to get only what you want, manipulate and get everything that you want, and nobody else gets what they need. That's what it says. She should not lead the children or her stepkids against her husband to get what they want. That's what usurping authority. It doesn't mean that a woman has a position of authority. Fellas, can I tell you something? If a woman has a position of authority, you ought to respect it, whether you like it or not. You don't have to like it, but can I tell you something? It's there. I'll show you that here in a little while. So, authority is a delegated influence. It's not ruling. It is using influence that has been given to you because of a higher power. And you're to get people to follow the rules or the leadership of the higher power. They're not there to follow you. You represent that higher power and you're trying to get them closer to following that higher power. Number two, authority is placed on you by a higher power. I preach what I do because I have a higher power. There it is. By the way, my higher power isn't centrally located in a denominational headquarters somewhere.
Right.
We don't have a meeting every 3 or 5 or 10 years to decide what our doctrines are going to be. Jesus wrote them down. That's all we need. Don't need another meeting.
That's right.
Amen. As long as we're preaching that book plain and clear as God wrote it, it doesn't matter. Everybody doing okay?
I'm having fun right now. You say, what authority do you have? The Word of God.
Good.
If I give you my opinion, I tell you, this is my opinion. I'm not afraid of that. But when it comes to doctrine, I'm not changing. When it comes to the King James Bible, not changing. When it comes to salvation by grace through faith alone, I'm not changing. When it comes to baptism after salvation by immersion, I'm not changing. When it comes to the virgin birth of Christ, I'm not changing. By the way, I'm not sitting down with preachers and holding hands with them if they don't believe those things. I'm not going to go to the association. When I conduct weddings, do you know I conduct a wedding? One of the statements I use, by the power invested in me by the state of West Virginia. I have been given that authority by the state because of my position, because of my title, because of my training to represent the state to officially marry a couple. It's not my authority. It is the authority of the state. Everybody understand that? I didn't get the authority to get leadership. My position gave me that authority, and I have to follow its rules to the T. I lead my wife and children, or at least while they were home. My wife still is there, by the way. Based on authority from God.
Okay, I love you. I'm gonna break down a bad teaching in America today. Man is not God of the home.
That's right.
You are guilty of satanic power at that point. I will exalt my throne. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. No, you represent God. You have been given authority by God to rule to get them closer to God. Quit acting like the devil while you try to do God's work. Everybody doing all right? Man, that was pretty harsh, wasn't it? Did you know that the woman is supposed to represent the Holy Spirit, but you are not the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's God, and you're satanic if you think you are God?
We get this mindset almost, it's Catholic. The Pope can speak ex cathedra. In the place of God. You don't speak in the place of God. Speak his words.
Amen.
You represent him? Yes. So do I. As your pastor, I represent God, but I am not God. You already know that. No nail prints. I'm as much a sinner as you are. I don't act like Satan in Isaiah 14, becoming my own authority and my own higher power. I am to lead my wife, I'm to lead my daughter, I'm to lead my two sons with influence, not with domination.
My daughter's an adult. She's 15? She's 20 years old. She's 20 years old. I've got a son that's 23. I got another son that's 26. Whew, got out of that one in a hurry, didn't I? I was looking for help on that one. Wait a minute. The only power I have now is influence. I can't get upset if they make a mistake.
I can say, you sure that's a good idea? Why not, Dad? They're learning. Say, how did they learn that? Because they didn't do what Dad said and found out that wasn't a real good idea. Usually it's, you sure you want to do that? You think that's a good idea? You really think that's going to work? Oh, yeah, Dad, watch this. Okay. And a week later, Dad, I shouldn't have done that. I figured that. How come you didn't tell me? I did. But I don't have the power to tell you not to do it. I have influence, and that's it. You see, I serve my family based on the authority given to me.
Do you know I'm supposed to serve my wife? Not be served by her. I've to serve my daughter. Not be served by her. I'm not King Tut with a fat belly, though I might have the fat belly. I'm not supposed to sit there and say, well, I'm the king of this. I'm going to teach you to serve, so you serve me.
No, you teach them to serve by serving them.
Yes, sir.
My daughter worked on the bus route this weekend. Can I tell you why? She watched her mom and dad work on bus routes. She's watched her mom and dad work with people. It just became natural to her. It's what we do. I taught her to serve by serving. Boy, that's good. I cannot be God of my home. Therefore, I can't be the authority in the home. I have been given authority by God, and my job is to point them to God. But I am not the authority, and I cannot be my own authority in the home because I'm not the highest power God is.
Amen.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Watch this. Honor thy father and thy mother. Notice there's two different words there. Children, parents. Honor father and mother. Did you know that the term father and mother in the Greek is different than the term parents? Parents are for children that are minors underage. Parents are my father, mother over here. I don't have to obey them. I'm 51 years old. If mommy tells me to do something, I don't have to obey her. Say, that wasn't real nice to say, though, but I should honor her. Doesn't mean I even do what she tells me. But honoring means I take what they have taught me, used it, expand it, made it successful in an honor for them. Boy, that's good stuff. God's holiness and God's righteousness and God's justice gives him the ability to have the authority to tell us what to do.
That's why there's only one way to get to heaven, because it's only given by God's authority. Man can't earn it because man doesn't have the authority to earn it. Man's religion is not authoritarian enough to get to heaven. You have to have total holiness, total righteousness, and total justice. Guess what? None of us qualify. Can't get there on our own. We better do it God's way.
Amen.
The higher the position, the more influence one should have, not necessarily the more power or more ruling ability. Do you know the higher you go in success, the more influence you should get? And the more influence you should point to the higher power. Please don't take this the wrong way. It's a shame that, and this is not going to come out right, and I apologize, but I have a little higher position being pastor. I should be able to point more people to the Lord than the average person, because I've been doing it longer, more times, with more people. And the higher you go, the more you ought to serve people. And the more you ought to use that influence, not for you to get attention, but for him to get attention.
Yes, sir.
It's about the higher power. The higher you go in your company, you ought to be pointing more people to the company.
That's right.
I'm going to go preach in Florida, and I'm going to teach a church staff that they ought to pay their own salary every year by the amount of people they put in the church. As an assistant pastor for over 20 years, I put 8 to 10 families every year in the church to pay my salary with their tithe. I felt that was my job. I feel like if we did our part, I could help everybody around me to learn how to do their part.
That's right.
Boy, that's good stuff. You see, you are not the issue in authority. The authority you represent is the issue. You're not the issue. Do you know I'm not the issue when it comes to this church? God is. I'm not the issue. He is. It's his church, not my church.
That's good.
I've been saying this for 5.5 years. I'm not really pastor of this church. God is. I'm just his assistant.
Amen.
That's the way it ought to be. Authority is your influence for the one for whom gave you the ability to have the influence. I'm going to read what I wrote in my notes. You'll laugh. It's not you beating your chest telling everyone you're the boss. It's not you promoting your position. Listen to me. I'm the supervisor here. Okay. Wrong way. Doesn't work that way. Anybody ever work for somebody like that? Your first reaction is, dude, you lost. Or more famously, you young people like this. You got a teacher that has no classroom control. Now listen to me. I'm the teacher now. No, you're not. You're learning. Jesus was God in the flesh. Did you know he never went around telling people he was the Messiah? You won't find one place in there where he said he was the Messiah.
Sorry.
Only one time they said, "You say that thou art the Messiah." He said, "Thou sayest I am." Even when he got up and read Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, he said, "It's fulfilled." He never gave them what his title was. Oh. He asked his disciples, "Who do men say I am?" Oh, some say you're John the Baptist or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said, whom do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that was well said. But he didn't go around saying who he was. Number three, our authority comes as we serve and work and push or pull people to obey the ones above us.
Authority is not about my position. Authority is about one for whom I represent. Please don't take this the wrong way. I prefer people call me Preacher or Pastor Bush. No problem. Or Brother Bush. Good with that. I don't think it's real wise for preachers to go around getting called by the first name by everybody in the church. I have a position that needs respected by everybody. And I'm not the issue. He is.
Yes, that's good.
I don't think that people walk into the White House, into the Oval Office, and call President Trump, hey, Don, how's it going? I can't picture that. Now, I can see him walking in calling the last one by his first name.
Hussein.
Wasn't going there, but that's what I was thinking.
Now, wait a minute. That's why I thought it very unwise of President Clinton going around jogging in his shorts with everybody to see. It's no wonder he was messing around with everybody in the White House. He didn't respect his own position. You see, authority is not about my position. Authority is my service to whom I represent.
As I serve God, I'm pointing you to him, not to me. I am not the issue. If someone gets mad and leaves the church or gets mad because I told the truth and I preached the word of God, I'm sorry for them, so be it, but I'm not changing what God said. I was counseling a pastor this week in a different state. He said, now, preacher, he said, I need some advice. He said, I got somebody in my church and they were messed up in a different parachurch organization. And he said, I'm not really for it, but I understand your situation. But just so you know, don't bring that stuff into my church. Well, a year later, it's in his church. And he said, what do I do? I said, you better squash it in a hurry. He said, well, I really don't want to lose them. I said, you're going to lose more than just them if you don't. I said, I'd get up and say, I'm about to preach a sermon, and I'm going to mention this group that you're a part of, and this group, and this group, and this group, and this group with you. I'm not necessarily hitting you. I'm trying to protect my people. I said, you're probably still going to lose him, but you're going to only lose one family versus probably five or ten. He texted me yesterday and said, been a hard day. He said, you're right, I lost that family. He said, but I'll probably protect the rest of my church. Amen. I said, hang in there. I said, hit the pulpit hard. It'll be okay. In all areas of life, I am the influence for the higher powers. Do you know how many times have you heard this preacher say, I think you ought to obey the driver's laws. Drive the speed limit. Can I tell you why? It wouldn't be real good for the preacher, a Grace Baptist Church, to be getting three speeding tickets every year. You would have less respect for me if I did. I believe in obeying the authority in all areas of life. Everybody doing all right? Y'all get really quiet on that one.
When the hounds got the coon in the tree, you just stay there a while. Amen. Romans 13:1 says this, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Did you know that in the Bible it talks about sheriffs, mayors, governors? It talks about military leadership. It talks about civil leadership. It talks about business leadership. It talks about home leadership, family leadership, church leadership. It says higher powers.
Now listen to me. That means you ought to be obeying your bosses and your supervisors.
Amen. I do all the time.
That means you ought to be obeying your teachers, Sunday school teachers and school teachers. Brother Scott, should we go back and talk to your teachers? Okay. That altar's big enough for your body, too. Before you get too route wound up there. Okay, this one's hard on me. That means you, in sports, you don't argue with the ref or the umpire. You're to obey all authority. That means judges and jury. All this mess of people protesting because they don't agree with what a judge and a jury said is a bunch of hogwash to God. No justice, no peace is anti-God and anti-authority. I believe that you ought to obey your parents, and I believe you ought to obey your step-parents. And parents and step-parents ought to get along with one another and quit backbiting each other. If you're messing and you're talking down somebody, your children's step-parent, you just talk down your own authority. Everybody doing all right? Your local, your state, and your national laws, I think we ought to follow them. I think you ought to pay your taxes. I think you ought to pay them on time. I think you ought to do what you're supposed to do. I think you ought to follow the laws of the land. I believe you ought to obey the hunting laws. I refused. You don't have to worry about it, Joe. She shoots them for you. Don't worry. With your own gun in your stand. Ashley, you're really red on that one, but that was pretty good. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I had a chance this year to take a second turkey, but I didn't take the shot because I had three turkeys standing within that far of each other, and I couldn't pull the trigger and get just one. So I let them all three walk. I wasn't willing to break the law to get another stupid turkey. I felt better about it. I didn't like watching them run away because they were biggins. But I wasn't going to break the law to do it either. Everybody doing all right? Okay. By the way, that's why gossip is such an evil thing, because it's usurping authority. Gossip is wicked as hell. Gossip is wrong. Whether men do it or women do it. And everybody is prone to it, just so you know. If you tear down any authority to build your own, you have just destroyed your own authority. For me to tear down Brother Stoltz's authority, I just ripped apart my own authority. For you to say, well, I know your mother says this, but we're not going to do that, we're going to do this, you just destroyed her authority and yours. Whether you agree with her or not, back her. Privately, when nobody else is around, you talk about it and say, let's next time not do it that way. But I backed you on this one. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Man, I'm having fun right now. Modern politics is full of destroying. Why is it that nobody respects politicians? Because all they do is sling mud at each other and it really doesn't matter. I don't have to like a leader, and I don't have to like a law, but I must obey it because of the authority that it represents. I think it's criminal that they've mandated seatbelts as a law. I think it's criminal. I think it's a wise thing to wear one. But we have lost our freedom because that freedom... Me not putting a seatbelt on puts no one else's freedoms in jeopardy, only my own. I do think alcohol driving, drunk driving, impaired driving, I think that is criminal. And I think it's criminal that they let the criminals off to go do it again and again and again and again. Number four, and I'm done. This one will go fast, but this one might hurt. Rebellion is someone expressing opposition to authority, not to your position of leadership, and trying to lead people away from the authority.
When it comes to rebellion, when your children, let me restate that, when your children rebel, not if, They're all going to challenge you from time to time. But rebellion is when they try to lead others away from your authority.
Okay, this is where it's going to hurt. When you start hearing things like, well, I just don't agree with the preacher on that. That's rebellion. You're leading somebody away from truth. Everybody doing okay? Oh, they're better churches with more people because they don't preach like Brother Bush does. That's rebellion. That's just his opinion, and it's not as I see it in the Bible. Oh, so you're the authority, huh? I'm not. I represent the authority. I know others who don't believe that. They're happier, but they're godly people too. Usually they're not as godly as you think they are.
That's right. Yes, sir.
This is my favorite.
Oh, he thinks he just knows everything. Wrong answer. I don't.
You're not the only one that reads the Bible. True. Your parent or your step parents are not like us, so you don't have to listen to them. That's rebellion.
And by the way, if it's not in your area of authority, keep your mouth shut. Brother Stolte, I've never one time told you how to lead your family. Not my area rule. I've got enough under my own roof to take care of. I don't tell other preachers what to do in their churches. They call and get my advice. I don't check up to see if they've done it. They ask my advice, I'll give them my advice. Some of them choose to do it, some of them choose not to. That's up to them. I'm not the final authority.
They asked what I want, what I see and what I've done and what I've experienced. We get through it. You see, rebellion is when you're leading people away from another power. You say, well, my stepchild has a parent that is not saved and they're pulling them away. Okay, but don't criticize their authority. This will get you. That officer had no right to pull me over. Ouch. That teacher doesn't know what they're talking about. Ow, that's rebellion. You're leading others away from the authority given by a higher power. Okay, I'm not even going to look at you when I read this one.
That is a stupid rule, and I'm not going to follow that.
See, I didn't look at anybody, so you can't say I was preaching at you. I was preaching at that sign right there. Can I tell you something? When you start pointing others to go away from authority, you are rebelling. Those are statements of rebellion. Not just, though, there's many more. Those are just examples. Let me finish with this and I'm done. My wife and I, we were in Southern California. I was an assistant pastor there. She taught in the school.
And I got into a mess. We had 170 people baptized the first 12 months we were there. And honestly, almost 100 of them were between my wife and I. And we were in a church running 12 to 1,500. And things were changing really fast.
Everything that I preached, they were against. This was not a good thing. It came down to where the pastor was looking through my sermon notes saying if I could or could not preach things. And it got so bad one day, I just threw my Bible and said, there it is. I said, you find somebody else to preach. He said, well, do it, just be careful. I got up and preached a chapel sermon, and the next Wednesday night in church, he got up and said, some people believe this, but this is what we're going to do. Took my entire outline and preached it in reverse. This is not a good thing. I remember wondering what was going to happen. Sitting in my office just literally a
couple days later. I'm not even sure it wasn't the next day. My phone rang, and the secretary said, "There's an Irma McKinney on the line." I said, "Okay." She said, "Do you want to take it?" I said, "Yeah." She patched her through, and she said, "Brother Bush, this is Irma McKinney. I'm Brother Hiles' secretary." "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Brother Hiles wants to talk to you. Could you hold?" "No."
I waited just 30, 40 seconds, and I heard this. "Craig, this is Brother Hiles." "Yes, sir." He said, "Craig, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this about where you're at. One question, do you want to stay?" I had never, my wife didn't know those things. I'd been fighting this for almost a year, and she didn't even know till the night that the preacher got up and preached my sermon in reverse. I hadn't told anybody. I said, "Excuse me? Where did you find that out? That's not important." I said, "Preacher," I said, "I can't stay. If I stay and I'm loyal to my principles, I'll be disloyal to the pastor. And if I stay and I'm loyal to the pastor, I have to change my principles, and I'm not changing my principles for him, for you, or for anybody else." And I thought that was the dumbest thing in the world to tell Jack Hiles. He said, "Good, I'll help you." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "You're in the worst position you'll ever be in as an assistant pastor." He said, "How's your wife doing?" I said, "She's fine. She didn't find out about it till, I don't know, a day or two before." He said, "You haven't told her?" I said, "Why? It's not her battle, it's mine." He said, "It's about to be hers." I said, it's full out now." And Brother Hiles was able to step in and help us and move us from one part of the country to another and get into another church. But the principle was there. I had been given a higher power. I wasn't going to demean the other authority. Do you know you've never heard me use that pastor's name ever? I never do. My wife knows his name. My dad and mom may remember his name, but I don't use it. I promised that man I would never tear his name down. He said, "You're just going to go here and trash my name." I said, "For me to trash your name, I'm trashing my own. I'm not doing that." I said, "I'm a bigger man and better Christian than that." I have never demeaned him. Never told you who it was. Wouldn't even tell you the church name so that you could research it. You say, "Why?" Because I believe in authority. I can use the illustration to help people without destroying somebody in the process. I'm not pulling people away from an authority and pushing you to a higher authority. Let me say this. I'm not the greatest example of it. But I know this. As Jesus preached, the scribes, the Pharisees, looked at him and said, "Whew, this man taught as one having authority and not as the scribes." By the way, it was the scribes, the Pharisees, and the priests in the temple that wanted him crucified. They were the bullies, not Jesus. Authority, biblically, it's delegated influence. It's not your bully and brashness. It's you representing a higher power. And it's not your power, it's the higher power. It's you getting the influence to get more people to it. That's what soul winning is. Soul winning is us backing the authority, going out and trying to get people closer to Christ. That's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done.